भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 27 entitled Lord Krishna's Instructions on the Process of Deity Worship. Text number 19. Chuchi Samrita Sambhara Pragdarbhai Kalpitasana Asina Pragudagvarche Archayam Tvatha Sammukha. Shuchihi, clean. Samvrita, having collected. Sambharaha, the paraphernalia. Prak, their tips facing the east. Darbhai, with blades of kusha grass. Kalpita, having arranged. Asanaha, his own seat. Asinaha, sitting. Prak, facing the east. Uda, facing the north. Va, or. Archet, he should perform the worship. Archayam, of the deity. Tu, but. Atha, or else. Sammukha, directly facing. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. After cleansing himself and collecting all the paraphernalia, the worshipper should arrange his own seat with blades of kusha grass, whose tips point eastward. He should then sit facing either east or north, or else if the deity is fixed in one place, he should sit directly facing the deity. Purport. The word Samvrita Sambhara means that before beginning the deity worship, one should place all necessary paraphernalia nearby. In this way, one will not have to get up continually to search for different items. If the deity has been permanently installed, then one should sit facing the deity. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनकारणम् वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we are reading this chapter about great details of deity worship is given. And last chapter, as we saw, it ended with discussion about how association of devotees is important. So as we were hearing yesterday also, that these five items of bhakti are very important, most important out of 64 items of bhakti are these five. It's also called Panchang Bhakti. So association of devotees is also very important, and in the same way, in this chapter, the deity worship is being described. So we should place our, it's not that we do one or the other, we should do all as far as possible. And Srila Prabhupada has within ISKCON arranged all the morning program, evening program and other activities in such a way that we engage in these five potent items of bhakti. So here we see in deity worship these few verses, the verses which started yesterday from 16 onwards. These verses, 16, 17 and going till 30 and even further, they describe the various details of deity worship, you know, what to do, how to perform different activities within deity worship. So these great details are described so that we don't make mistakes. So Krishna himself is explaining it like that. So, in today's verse, as we see, it's the first word itself, it says shuchi. Shuchi means clean. So we generally discuss, are you shuchi or muchi? So within bhakti, we have to perform various activities, but we should be shuchi, we should be clean. So cleanliness is a very important item of deity worship. So it is said two most important items of deity worship are cleanliness and punctuality. And as we know, deity worship is of course within the altar, and some specific services are only performed by the Brahmana initiated devotees, but at the same time all devotees should understand that the importance of these qualities of cleanliness and punctuality. So whichever service we are doing, we should not neglect these qualities. It's not that we don't go into the altar so we need not be clean. No, it's not like that. Actually, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is about cleansing. About cleansing, like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in his Shiksha Ashtak, it starts itself like that. Cheto Darpan Marjana. So started, you know, as soon as you chant Hare Krishna, the first installment of benefits that we get is the heart is cleansed, like that. So when we chant, we are cleansing our heart, we are cleaning our the inside, from within we are cleaning, and from without also we should, wherever we are living, our room, our bed, our cupboard, locker, it should be very clean. So if everything is cluttered around us, cluttered and untidy, so that's our consciousness is reflected by that. And if a person is very organized, clean, so his mind is also very clean, and you know, so then when we chant, it has more effect like that. So this cleanliness is very important, and at the same time punctuality is also important. And of course, in, like we see the offerings, there are so many offerings, and there is a time, and you know, sometimes you see pujaris running here, there. So they are conscious of time, that oh, Lord is waiting for his breakfast offering. So they try their best to do the offering at that second, like that. So that's why this, and this is so important, because our mind is engaged and our senses are engaged in this way, in deity worship, and thinking about Krishna and Krishna's service. So if for example some offering or some service has to be done at particular time, and so it's not that when that time arrives we think about that service. No, even before that we are preparing our mind that oh, that time I have to do that this particular service, so I should be ready. So for example, this can be applied for any service, all services. If there is a particular set time for that, we should be very conscious of that. So for example, you have to go to crossways. So you have to be, crossways starts at 11:30. But you have to be in the kitchen at 9:30 to do the divide. So we should plan our day so that we are there on time. And in that way we are not rushing and we are not just passionate. And if we are on time wherever, in all the services, that's pretty much in mode of goodness. And we are stable, mind is calm, and then we can do the service very nicely. You know, as Krishna said to Arjun, that what was Arjuna's service on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? His service was to fight and kill. But at the same time, Krishna, and he was a great fighter, he had also defeated Lord Shiva. He was such a powerful fighter, and no demigod could fight with him. But at the same time, Krishna stressed this point, if you see in 8th chapter, that he says, Mam anusmara yudhyacha. So how you fight, but you think of me. So he is doing his service, but he is thinking of Krishna, like that. So in the same way, if we do our service in a clean way, punctually, so our mind is pretty settled and we can think about Krishna and how that service is related to Krishna. And if we are rushing, then it's just all the services, they just look like, oh, our authority has just put on our head, and that looks like a burden then if we are just rushing for any service. But if we are just, these are very simple, by being just little careful, we can actually develop these qualities, and then we can, you know, deepen our mood of devotional service. So this deity worship is so important, but as we know, this is Kali Yuga going on, so people have different conceptions that, oh, why to worship these idols like that. So I was listening to one lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He was mentioning that in India there is a group called Arya Samaj. They do this propaganda, they spread this information that deity worship is not important. Why to worship the idols? Why to waste time like that? So they do this. He was discussing with, this was Prabhupada was discussing with few devotees, so, and guests as well. So then one guest asked, what are you doing to, you know, counteract that? So this group is saying deity worship is not important, and they are spreading this knowledge. So this is so harmful. Of course, if you don't want to do, you don't do, but they are spreading this and cheating other people also. And it's not based on the scriptures. So then the one guest asked Prabhupada, what are you doing to stop that? So Prabhupada said, they are doing their propaganda, they are spreading their way of thinking, and we are doing our propaganda. So we are spreading the holy name by book distribution, prasadam distribution, Harinam Sankirtan. So that's what Prabhupada said. So he has said that deity worship is important. We have to do. And in Kali Yuga, it's not the standard which was being followed in previous age, Dwapar Yuga. But we do the minimum possible to control our mind and senses so that we can chant holy name peacefully, like that. So, this verse, it said that, you know, the devotee, the sitting posture is stressed, and it says he arranges his seat with the blades of kusha grass, like that. And we here also in altar we see when the pujaris, Brahman initiated devotees, they sit to do their worship, they have a kusha grass mat and they cover it with another soft mat and they sit and do their worship. And here it said that so everything should be samvrita sambhara, means before beginning the worship, they place all necessary paraphernalia around them so that they don't have to get up all the time. So we see in the, you know, this devotees, pujaris who do shaligram worship, it's a very elaborate worship. So they have to, you know, they have to begin 1 hour before the service to collect all the paraphernalia, and just, and then when they start, they just arrange everything around them. So it's not possible to just run for one item or the other. So they have to make these arrangements before. So it's very, very elaborate. So this process just engages our mind so much that, oh, am I missing anything, or, you know. So it's so important. And you're worshipping Lord directly. So it's a direct reciprocation with the Lord, like that. So So this verse particularly actually is saying about the how the devotee sits. So we would like to little bit expand on that. That here it's mentioned that how he should sit facing either east or north, or if the deity is fixed on in one place, you can sit facing the deity. Like that here also, pujaris sit, if they are doing shaligram puja or dressing the small deities, they sit directly facing the deities, like that. So it's totally according to the scriptures, these activities are being performed. And further, if we see this sitting posture is so important that not only in deity worship, in other processes also it was stressed, the sitting posture. And as we know, what in the four ages there are different methods of God realization. So the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is Krite Yadhyayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajito Makhai Dwapare Paricharyaram Kalau Tad Hari Kirtana. So in the Satyuga, people used to meditate for thousands of years. So meditation was the process. And for meditation, we know they should sit very erect, nicely. And in Bhagavad Gita, in 6th chapter, which is about Dhyan Yoga, similar verse is there, which tells that how the yogi who is aspiring to focus on the super soul, how he makes his sitting place like that. So there it says, Shuchau Deshe Pratishtaya Stiram Asanam Atmana Natyucharitam Natinicham Chela Jina Kushotra. So to practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kushagras. So there also, in meditation process, kushagras is considered very pure. So they also use, the yogis, Ashtang yogis. So he should lay kushagras on the ground and then cover it with deer skin and soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low, and it should be situated in a sacred place. So here, as the process for the Satyuga was meditation, so in that also the sitting process, sitting posture, sitting position and various arrangements that need to be done is very important. And in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned like that. So then in Treta Yuga, the method of self-realization was the yagyas, performing various yagyas. And you see various priests, there are four types of priests who would be there. One would be reciting from different section, one section of Vedas, and other is one is a witness who is observing, like that. Various priests are there, and they would sit in a very proper, appropriate way, and they would observe and perform these activities of fire sacrifice, and it was very elaborate. So there also the sitting posture and sitting arrangement was very important. And then next, in the Dwapar Yuga, the process of self-realization was elaborate deity worship. And here, deity worship, directly it says the sitting posture above of deity worship, how it's very important, all the arrangements. But in this age, the process which works most effectively is Hari Kirtan, Sankirtan. So Sankirtan, congregational chanting, and of course chanting is of three types, Japa, Kirtan and Sankirtan. So Japa is when we do our personal chanting, or we do on the beats, and then Kirtan when we are singing Hare Krishna like that, and Sankirtan when we congregationally chant with other devotees like that. So as we see in Japa also, it's so important to, you know, sit nicely and erect like that. And we attended this Japa workshop by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu. He was mentioning that these things are very important. If you keep your back straight, so there's less chance of falling asleep. Because devotees work hard, they sometimes have a late night, and of course early morning, we have to wake up early morning to attend Mangal Aarti. So sometimes in chanting period we are a little sleepy. So but most, if we keep our back straight and try not to lean against the wall. So it's so these things help in to focus on holy name. And if we are too sleepy, we should just walk a little bit like that, so that we don't fall asleep. So like that. So this sitting posture is important for all the processes like that. But to further expand, and actually in relation to chanting, we were sometime back we were watching this seminar by Vaisheshika Prabhu on book distribution. So it was, I think, how to sell Bhagavad Gita on its own credit, that seminar. So in that he was mentioning that how this chanting is so important, and he was also mentioning about one aspect of chanting, that how he one day before he would arrange his seat near the altar and keep his beads hanging nearby. So he's prepared from one day before for his chanting. So he would be focused, and that's in his list, that first priority is I would be chanting in the morning and the seat is already arranged like that. And then he would sit, and he was also mentioning you should sit for it, you should just do this chanting in a focused way like that. So this arrangement of, he already arranged his seat for chanting like that. And to further expand on this this verse about sitting in Bhagavad Gita, actually Arjun in second chapter, he asks various questions. In the later part of second chapter, he asks few questions to Krishna. So he said, he asks about a transcendentalist, that what are his qualities and his activities. So the questions he asks is in a way that he asks, oh, how does he speak, how does he walk, how does he sit, like that. So these questions he asks. So of course we just discussed the physical sitting posture, but this is we can expand on it also, how Arjuna asked Krishna that how to sit, how to walk. So the deeper meaning is explained by the acharyas, that he's just not asking how to sit means all these arrangements, but he's also asking, when Arjuna says how to sit means, he's asking that how a devotee restrains his senses. Sits means he restrains his senses when there is an opportunity of sense gratification. He doesn't act on it. He just restrains his senses. And because he is fixed in his transcendence like that. So that's the a more elaborate meaning of sitting in your transcendental position. So when devotees every day, every time, mind gives various thoughts, and so if we are fixed and firm in our devotional service, so then we won't move like that. So that's what Arjun means. So he was asking about various types of transcendentalists, and then Krishna explained one. He said, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan paatmanogatan atmanye vatmanatushta sita pragyasto jokshete. So sita pragya, the person who is fixed in his transcendence, then no one can move him if he is fixed in his service like that. So, and we were reading also in Srimad Bhagavatam recently, that in Bhakti Vaibhav, that how there are the transcendentalists who are attempting to end this cycle of birth and death and go to the spiritual realm. So there are three types of transcendentalists. So first is called Dhira. Dhira is a transcendentalist who is not disturbed if he is away from his family association. So he is not affected by it. He is very stable. Second type is a sannyasi who is a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. What it means is, people get frustrated that, oh, this material world, I am trying to fulfill my desires and I am not able to get full satisfaction. So they become frustrated from this material world. That this material world is just bad, we have to go out, that's why. So if you see Buddhists, they have some similar conception. They want nirvana, that this material exist, this material world is like a van or a forest of material world. So there's so much pain in this forest. So we have to go out, nirvana. Nir means go out of this one, go out of this forest. But where to go, that they don't know. So that's the problem. So they are like the transcendentalists by frustrated sentiment. They are frustrated by this material world, they want to reject it. Like that. But the third type of transcendentalist is a sincere devotee who understands that this material world is present to, is here to teach us a lesson, to make us frustrated and go back to Godhead. So he has the positive, he knows the positive side also, not just the negative side that this world is bad, but there is one world which is good and we have to go there. So he doesn't wait, oh, when will I die and go out and go to spiritual world. So devotee never waits about his death. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kame mam janmani janmeshware bhaktad bhakti rahitu kitai. That I of course don't want any material thing, but I want to be engaged in your devotional service birth after birth. So pure devotee doesn't care about birth and death in this material world. He's just praying for devotional service wherever it is, material world, spiritual world, doesn't matter. So he's just engaged in his devotional service. So wherever Krishna wishes, if Krishna wishes that the devotee performs his service in the spiritual world, so devotee says okay. But if he wants devotee to serve in hell, so he says okay, no problem, because he doesn't identify with the false ego. So he is only identifying with the true ego, that he is the servant of Krishna. So whatever Krishna says to please Krishna, he is ready to do that. And that's the topmost type of bhakti, pure bhakti, the first class bhakti, which is without any motivations, no motivation. Only motivation is to please Guru and Krishna. That's the only motivation of a pure devotee. So this is the third type of transcendentalist, and this is the perfection of being a transcendentalist. So he has the higher taste, and then he can easily reject the lower taste, like that. So to become transcendental means to come out of the bodily conception. I was actually reading one nice pastime in which it's about how Vrikasura was worshipping Lord Shiva to get a boon. So in that pastime, it's very interestingly it's mentioned how actually the demons have this strong bodily conception of life, like that. So there Vrikasura, he wanted a boon, so he started worshipping Shiva. First he actually asked Narad Muni that out of these three, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, who gives the benediction fastest, want fast results. These days also you want fast results. If you see someone is fat, he wants to become thin, so the gym will have its ad before and after pictures and very fast results, like that. So everyone wants fast results, like that. So Vikasur wanted this fast result. So he said, who will give me the fast? He didn't care who is supreme or, what's their position and what are their qualities. He just wanted his benediction for his sense gratification. So Narad Muni said, Lord, to please Lord Vishnu is very hard, but Lord Shiva will give you the fastest result. So you worship him. So he set up a sacrificial fire and he started putting his own flesh into it to please Lord Shiva. So, but then Shiva didn't appear for some few days, and then he decided he will chop off his head and put into the fire. So as soon as he was about to do that, Lord Shiva came from within the fire and just held, stopped him, and then he asked, what do you want? So he said, I want a benediction so that whosoever's head I touch, he dies. So then Lord Shiva said, he thought, it's not a... So hesitatingly he granted him that benediction. He was obliged to do that because he worshipped him. So then what Vikasur did, as soon as he got that benediction, he ran after Lord Shiva to touch his head. The person who gave him the benediction, he wanted to kill him like that. So now Lord Shiva, when he understood, he ran. So then there was a long chase. And Vikasur was chasing Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva ran everywhere. But in the end, he entered Shvetadvip, where Lord Vishnu resides. And there, Lord Vishnu also saw that this chase is going on, and this Vrikasur, this demon, is chasing his devotee Lord Shiva. So Lord Vishnu disguised himself in a form of a young boy, young brahmachari with deer skin and like that. So he came, and now this chase was going on, so he came there, and as a small young brahmachari boy, he just stopped Vrikasur. He said, "Oh, just wait a little bit, and I want to ask you something. Just rest for a minute, you know." So, actually, Lord Vishnu, as the brahmachari, he knew that he wouldn't stop because he is after Lord Shiva to kill him. So then he stressed that he told him, "You just wait a minute. You would like to, you should give rest to the body. You are running from so long. This body is the thing which provides you everything." So he stressed, very cunningly, and he tricked him that this body is very important. This provides you all pleasure. So just give it some rest and I'll ask you some question. So as soon as Lord Vishnu, in the form of a young boy, he said, "Give rest to the body, it's so important." He was convinced. He said, "Okay." Then he rested. So there it's in purport, it's mentioned that how demons, they give so much importance to the body. But here we see that to come out of bodily conception, a devotee, he engages himself in various devotional activities just to come out of this bodily conception. And this process of deity worship is perfect to free us from this bodily conception. Why? Why is that? How deity worship helps us? That's because the deity is, the form of deity, the body of deity is totally transcendental. So when we worship that deity, and when we associate, when we take darshan, or when we do puja, or we sing in front of the deity, or we do any form of deity worship, so we get the association of the deity, and we lose this bodily concept of life. We come out of this bodily concept of life, like that. And there's a very nice example which shows that how, although deity is made of metal, wood, jewel, or stone, but it's totally transcendental. So the example is given of an electrician, that an expert electrician, actually, so there's two types of energies, spiritual energy and material energy. So Krishna is like expert electrician. He transforms the material energy, which is the stone, the earth, the metal. He converts it into the spiritual energy. So in the same way, the electrician, how he does is, the electricity is same, it's generated in the power plant. But the same electricity, by his mechanical arrangements, the same electricity can be used to heat, and the same electricity can be used to cool things. Like if we see, pujaris are doing here in our altar, there's these flashlights. In summer it becomes so hot, actually, very hot. So and for Lord as well, so there is AC as well in there. So the electricity is same. In the flashlights it's heating, but in the AC it's cooling. So that's the arrangement made by the electrician, like that. So actually yesterday only there was an electrician who came, and he's so fortunate he could enter the altar. Generally many devotees cannot. And I was given the service to, you know, close the gates and just attend him. And he just came, he just walked through in, and other devotee was there. He said, he's walking in. I said, yeah, he can. He may have done some, you know, pious, very devotional activities in last life. He can just walk in. And for health and safety reasons, of course, we had drop sheets everywhere. He couldn't put, so he could walk in, and there was ladder and everything. And then I said, how's the lighting system here? He said, oh, so many lights and it's very hot, and yesterday was a warm day. So like that, it was so nice. So by his expert arrangement, this electrician converts the same electricity for heating and for cooling. So similar way, this deity is actually totally transcendental. It's totally spiritual. It's not matter. It's not wood. It's totally spiritual. Like that, because Krishna is that expert electrician, like that. So if we understand that, it's so important. We try to do this deity worship, and we try to develop our relationship with the deity, like that. So if we say God, to see God is very hard, but this deity form is so merciful. It has come before us so that we can see God face to face, like that. And here also, if we see the last word in today's verse, it's written sammukha. So it means directly facing. The devotee sits directly facing the deity, directly facing the Lord. We can worship the Lord in close association, face to face, like that. So in Prabhupada also, in one lecture, he was saying that it's not difficult, you know. Many people ask, oh, can you show me God? He says, it's not difficult to see God. You can see God face to face as Arjuna was seeing, because he was fixed in his relationship. He had this relationship of friendship, and also he accepted him as his guru. He says, Shishya Sreham, I'm your disciple, you guide me. And he was his very good friend. So he had that relationship, and that's how he could see Lord face to face. So same way, this deity worship helps us to develop this relationship with the Lord. And then we can actually see the spiritual form of Lord, not just this external wood or stone or metal like that. So that's the importance of deity worship that we discussed today. I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu.
How can we establish the deity in the house? The general
deity is in the house.
How can we?
Okay. Yeah, so actually the last section of this chapter that we were reading was about the installation of deity, how there is a deity which is fixed permanently, and there is a deity which is temporary, like that. And if you read verses, so there is a process. You can install deity at home also, but it's not as elaborate as this process of installation that we perform for these fixed permanent deities. That's very elaborate in the temple. So at the home, it's minimal, so that our main center is the temple. And at home, of course, we have representation of Sri Sri Radha Vallabh Gaunithai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, and it's not as elaborate as the temple. But if you want to read further about the permanent and temporary installation, it's given in this chapter, verses before 15. 1 to 15, if you read, from 10 to 15, it's given in chapter 27. Any other question or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Pranandevi ki.